take a walk with me. Stretch out this time and savor the moment. It's time for a red mage, blue mage extra turn, baby. Oh yeah.
All right, welcome. A long hiatus.
A little bit.
For red mage, blue mage extra turns. Because we had some extra thoughts, and I talked to you, Seth, and I said, seems like we have some stuff to say about this set, Phyrexia All Will Be One, which is now wrapping up, and we're moving on to other things. But we played a fair amount of it.
We did.
You and I played a fair amount of it together. How much have we drafted, you and I, together in the last few formats? A handful of times? I think we did it with Streets once or twice, maybe?
Yeah, maybe once or twice there.
Something like that?
Yeah.
We've done something like 8 drafts together.
Something like that.
In this.
Yeah.
And then a bunch more on our own. And Phyrexia All Will Be One. And speaking for the both of us, I'd say we'd give this set 2 thumbs down.
I would say so. Yeah.
Because you've been texting and messaging me. With your well, it's always such a roller coaster.
It is.
You send me snaps of like, here's my deck list, and so frequently I look at it and I'm like, we've got a winner on our hands.
This is baller.
Like, and then at the end of it, it's back to formula. You know,
every time it was a 1-3 or 0-3 and just rough.
So there's a lot to talk about there. So we were getting ready to discuss, and I was kind of envisioning this as just us going to therapy and ranting about how much we didn't like this set, which it definitely can be.
Sure.
But the more we talked about it, and the more we were listening to Lords of Limited's 50 takes and 50 minutes on the set, it's kind of like, on paper, the set seems fine.
Yeah.
And you were listening to what they were saying, and you were like, nodding, like, so tell me about your experience listening to that podcast.
Sure. I had a lot of similar thoughts to Lords of Limited there, so that's, you know, I felt good about that. Like, the real disconnect was knowing, like, the theory behind what this set was more or less designed to do, right? It was a very, very fast set. You needed to be on board as soon as possible, or you were getting beat. Interaction was paramount. The color schemes were, you know, they evolved over time. It started out with black and migrated over to red X of some sort. Typically, white was very strong as well. And if you did red-white, well, you're probably going to win a lot.
Red-green also very
red-green as well, yeah. Naya was what they mentioned, so I totally agree with that. So I knew all these things, and I saw all this happening as well. Comes to playtime and actual practice, all that, I would just get slaughtered. Every single time, everybody did something just a little bit better than me, and it was so exacerbated because the set was so fast, you just didn't have time to stabilize, and it just did not work out. I would always bemoan the shuffler.
So talk about that.
I know it's random. I really do at the end of the day, but it just feels better to complain about it because it's not me. Like, I'm fine. I'm number one.
I'm
like,
good.
Yeah, I'm good. So this is obviously something Magic Arena's in. But, you know, like, I would always bemoan the shuffler because every single time, like, I had a beautiful curve. My average mana cost was like 2.3. I'd have all these, like, one mana, like, you know, like, interaction cards. I could have a Hex Gold Slash, or I'd have, like, you know, a nice quick, like, one drop, like the white toxic creature.
The Chorus Crawler.
Chorus Crawler. 2 drops of plenty, like, I was, like, ready to go. And then, like, I might have, like, you know, 4 or 3 drops. I might have, like, 2 4 drops and a 5 drop at most. I've got no tap lands, or maybe 1 tap land at most. Without fail, my starting hand would be that tap land, lands of all different colors of everything that's in my hand. So let's just say I'm playing red-white. It would be, like, 1 white tap land, 2 plains, and 3 of my most expensive red cards. I'm like, well, this feels bad. Come on now. So then you got a mulligan because you have to be aggressive here on this one. Shit. Now it's all spells and I can't play anything, or there's 1 land and then it's, again, my 4 and 5 dropper in my hand, even though there's so few in there. well, shit, now I got a mold of five. Well, now I'm not going to win. There's no chance. Like, you go into it kind of knowing. It's like, well, they're just going to have too much gas going into this. So, and it wasn't even a battle of resources, kind of to piggyback off Lords of Limited there. It wasn't one of those things where you won by drawing more cards, getting into your deck quicker. It was who was most efficient with the cards that they had. So if you had cards that had menace, or, you know, took more rectangles for to interact with, right? So, you know, if it menace was really good, interaction was great, punch cards like fight cards, stuff, yeah, like that, those were all great. And if you could get those efficiently and on the board real quick, and if you top deck well, you were golden. That was kind of the long and short of it. I just never felt like I had any luck with it. And I always felt like I was on the defensive end and just trying to stabilize, which this set is all about. Just keep getting in there.
Stabilizing isn't really an option.
That's not an option here.
Yeah, we definitely talked about the format is very fast. I think there are kind of two camps with this format. There are people who say it's awful, and there are people who say, I know, I didn't like it either, but let me try to convince you that it's not as bad as you think.
Sure.
And a lot of times, the people who say it's not as bad as you think, they want to tell you, well, you just got to learn how to play by the rules that this format has, which is that early game, that interaction.
Sure.
But that has liabilities when it comes to how enjoyable it is, mm-hmm, because the fact that you have to mulligan aggressively, mm-hmm, means it's very unforgiving,
yeah,
of the random fluctuations that are just a normal part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a normal format, you keep a sketchy hand. Maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. Here, you get what would normally be an okay, mm-hmm, hand in a different format. Doesn't work here, even though it's like, okay, I have three lands, four non-lands. I can play all of these cards in my hand, but I don't have anything to do before turn three.
No.
You must mulligan.
Yeah.
You really don't have a choice. You're
gonna lose at that rate.
And then you pitch that, and you wind up with something where it's like, well, crap, now I don't even know if I'll be able to play any of these cards.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened pretty frequently. Or likewise, you know, I would have hands where I have the three lands and the four non-lands, and I just never draw another land, mm-hmm, after that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe in a different format, that would be okay, but the format is so fast, it's so compressed down into the first four turns, that it's just really hard to recover from the little hiccups that are, mm-hmm, just naturally a part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, there is no stabilizing, right, in this format, really. With some, you know, specific exceptions,
sure,
like some rares and stuff like
of
that.
Course.
You play your White Suns after you manage to draw it. Maybe you come back. But yeah, it was just very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, part of it, speaking of the tempo, the speed of the format, it's been like a long string of very fast formats.
Yes.
I think Dominaria United was the least fast in recent memory.
That's fair.
But other than that, there's Brothers War, which was quite aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
There was Streets of New Capenna, which was very, very aggressive.
Very.
And in between, you know, that number of sets, we're talking like a year, basically.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is just very, very fast, very aggressive, very much like just play your stuff and get to it. And for me personally, I just don't love that play style, because so much of it feels like you just draw your opening hand and we both could just put our cards on the table and be like, well, who wins,
mm-hmm,
based off of these cards?
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like there's a lot of gameplay. Now, I think I might be in the minority on that, or at least there would be people who would argue, because I heard a lot of people say that there's a lot of gameplay to Phyrexia All Will Be One. I don't know what you think about that. That was not my experience at all. It was just like, you just play your cards as fast as you can,
mm-hmm,
and try to pummel your opponent to death. There's no like clever plays as far as I could see.
I think the only cleverness that you could possibly have out of this is just making sure that you are as efficient with your mana as possible, but that's not really like cleverness,
no,
right?
Just spend as much as you
can.
Yeah,
that's just resource management there at that point. No, I agree. I don't think it was much more than, is your hand a little bit better than your opponent's?
And right.
Are your draws a little bit better than your opponent's?
Yeah.
And can you win by, what, turn five?
Right.
Something like that. So, no, I don't think there was that much, as much skill involved with this one here, especially whenever you're playing red, white, red, green. Of course, there's, you know, like Proliferate, and there's Vermiriden cards, and cards like Against All Odds that would actually bounce stuff and bring stuff back was cute and all, but they really were kind of fringe plays, right? So they didn't play, like, all that much. They weren't, like, staples. No, I thought this was just kind of big, dumb, just play what you got as quick as you have and hope for the best, like, hope the Scheffler treats you well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it kind of feels bad.
An issue I have with it, too, is just along the same lines. The different archetypes, sure, they're doing different things.
Sure.
Like, here's a Toxic deck, here's a Corrupted deck, here's the Vermiriden deck, here's... But they all are just doing the same thing, which is just play your cheap threats, play mm-hmm. your cheap interaction, hope that you can get ahead of your opponent yeah. and stay there. And there was no real, like... Which is fine. Like, it's good to sure. have aggressive form or aggressive archetypes in the format. I think that's a good thing. But when that's all there is, mm-hmm. it feels pretty silly. Now, I know there's this blue deck floating around where it's more controlling, where you're
sure.
playing Jataxian Raptors and Eye of Malkator's and a few other cards that
sure.
get underdrafted. And maybe, you know, that's the ticket forward. I did try to draft blue a few times, and maybe I just need to go back and try it again and mm-hmm. really have that in mind, that that's what I'm trying to do when I land in that deck. But, I mean, even so, I think it's really that deck is trying to play a game that this format is just not about, and maybe
sure.
it's good if you can just get all the cards
sure.
and it's all being passed to you. But even that, I mean, you're still trying to do the same thing. You're still mm-hmm. trying to play, you know, two drops as fast as possible,
yeah.
and then you're winning not with, like, a clever control scheme at the end. You're bashing your opponent with Gataxian Raptors for four
yeah,
in the air, you know?
Exactly.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just not... It was not... really juiced on this format. I want to go to a format where I can draft something other than two drops,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think it's good that these formats are keeping control decks honest, and that
sure.
you can't get away with just dirtling and dicking around and never doing anything. But it feels like if you even try to do that,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get punished. If you try
to
do anything
fair.
Other than stay on task and
mm-hmm.
play your aggressive drops, nothing doing, pal,
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
And it feels like this format, it seems a little more acceptable in the sense that we knew it was going to be aggressive going
sure.
in. It's
mm-hmm.
like Toxic, Poison is a part of it.
Yeah.
It felt aggressive. So it wasn't like a sucker punch like Streets of New Capenna
sure.
was, where it was like, ooh, we're going to a three-color set.
Yeah,
we're gonna,
let's explore.
We're going to do some crazy
yeah.
stuff. And it was just like, nope, pick two colors, play
mm-hmm.
two drops, or you will lose.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt a little better in that way. And the same thing happened in Brothers War, where it was like, oh, big expensive artifacts. Get
mm-hmm.
ready for the late game, boys. Like Rise of the Eldrazi, part
yep.
two. Nope, don't play those cards.
Mm-hmm.
Get on board fast, or you will lose. And so I think part of the pain here is just that another set where you have to just play one and two drops, or especially
yeah.
like three drops, sure.
sure.
But you need one and two drops,
mm-hmm.
or you will get fucked. So I think there's just some, for me, there's some fatigue setting in of like,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm sick of drafting one and two drops, looking at my opening hand and being like, do I win or do I lose?
Sure.
Like, I wish it was like an auto battler that would just play itself and then I could move on with my day.
Yeah. You know what? As you were talking on here, I was kind of thinking this actually does play well with what Wizards would really want, right? They want quicker games, because then if you're, let's just say you take an hour and a half to do a slow, dirtly deck, you know, you might not have time to do another one, versus if you have a very quick deck that takes 45 minutes, now you can get charged twice in the same amount of time. So that's actually in the best interest for Wizards there. I don't know if that's really what they're going for. Maybe. I really don't know. And then another thing, too, this was a while ago, so my memory may be a little fuzzy on this one, but I remember that there was a study about counters versus, like, countering a creature versus destroying a creature. And people felt so much worse about getting their creatures countered versus getting it onto the board and saying, yeah, it's here, and then all of a sudden it just instantly gets destroyed. So maybe there is that aspect as well, so a lot more interaction and stuff like that to kind of give you that fighting chance and be a little bit more aggressive with the format. So maybe they are taking this information to heart and trying to figure out what to do with this stuff. So yeah. It's interesting for sure.
Yeah, I'm not positive on what the rationale is, because you may be totally right, and that's part of it. I wouldn't be surprised if they were just, like, they just had some internal directive about mm-hmm. people want to see more aggro, and they're just pushing it to be a little more aggressive.
Could be.
Because the one thing I don't think you can argue is that the games are, like, moving faster.
Oh, yes.
The curve definitely is being pushed down. There's better stuff at lower rarities
mm-hmm.
and lower costs, especially. Yes. Which I don't know. There's a lot of things that could go into that. Cause I think I feel this way too. I don't like it when there are cards in a set that don't do anything, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that feels good for anybody. Yeah. But what that does as a downstream consequence is that, okay, now you have these one drops that before were unplayable and now they're really, really good.
They have a paragraph of text.
Right.
Yeah.
And okay, so now you got to be using the one drops, and so it just pushes everything to be that much more aggressive.
Sure.
I don't know. I think there's a better balance to be found.
I think so.
We've played formats. Like, I think of, I mean, I mentioned this recently, Kamigawa Dynasty was a great set, I thought, and had plenty of powerful mm-hmm. early drops and early stuff, but had synergies and had all these kind of mm-hmm. wild different decks, and you would go, like, I would play my like really low cost value saga deck mm-hmm. and go against a red blue synergy artifact deck and mm-hmm. get my ass handed to me. And you know, I like that both things are possible.
Absolutely.
And when you go against a good synergy deck, you're going to get the floor mm-hmm. wiped with you. That's all I want. I want to feel like I'm rewarded for exploring and doing mm-hmm. other stuff. And in these, I just feel there's no delight for me in these formats. There's nowhere to go. It's just like, I'm drafting the red-white deck, so I take the cheap red and white cards and mm-hmm. I play them.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the story.
And then I play until I get to a level where I'm just constantly getting beat by these same red-white decks that are just better played
right.
by somebody else, and I'm just beating my head against a wall while I go 0-3, 0-3, 1-3, 0-3, 0-3. And yeah, it just feels bad. Like, I don't want to play after a while, and I always think it's so funny whenever I get the random, oh, did you have fun this game? I've never said yes. Even when I win, I never say yes. I'm like, no, I'm a salty old man. I hate this game, but I play it anyway. Take my money, whatever.
I think that's a great note to end today's conversation on as we maybe go in and try to lose some work.
That sounds good. Let's lose away.
All right. Thanks for joining me, Seth.
Pleasure to be here.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.